Welcome to the Futurist Freelance Podcast, brought to you by Zolo, the operating system for the solo economy. Every week, we're serving up an audio cocktail of expert tips, inspired insights, and stories from the frontiers of freelancing to help you grow your borderless business to new heights and live life on your own terms. So kick back, grab a snack, let's get started. Alan, a very warm welcome. We're launching the inaugural series of this podcast, The Future is Freelance by Zolo. My name's Maya Middlemiss. I'm a longtime freelancer and digital nomad or digital slowmad. I'm a Brit living in Spain, and I'm here today with Zolo's CEO, Alan Martinson, in Estonia. Welcome, Alan. Let's start from a question that everybody will want to know the answer to. What is Zolo?
Yes, good morning, Maya, and good to see you, and thanks for having me on this podcast. First of all, what is Zolo? So Zolo, many of the listeners may already be our customers, or at least having our signups, and Zolo is one of the largest, if not the largest, platform for freelancers or solopreneurs or independent professionals worldwide. So we have about 115,000 people signed up from more than 150 countries, and many of them are our paying customers. So what we do for them is essentially taking away one of the biggest pains in the life of freelancers or solopreneurs, which is business administration and running the business. Anything from registration to invoicing to accounting to contracting, so we take care of that.
Brilliant. Okay, that's really helpful. And speaking as a Zolo customer, I can confirm that all the admin I hate is the biggest help that you can offer to any solopreneur. So it's an excellent service. So,
Maya, just using the opportunity, are you happy with Zolo?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you're going to interview me now as a customer service feedback. But yes.
Yeah, so we believe in our customer happiness is a cornerstone of what we do, and most of our customers are super happy. So keep it that way. And if there's anything, then just let us know if we need to change something.
100%.
But let's dive back to the questions.
Yeah, because it was me interviewing you, right, today, yeah? But I'm always happy to give customer service feedback as a satisfied solo customer of 4 years since you were Leap In fact. But we're supposed to be about your journey today. So let's back up and have a look at your own route to this present role. I'm speaking to you now as the CEO of Zolo, but how did you get here? What led you to your present position as the CEO of Zolo? What's your background?
Yeah, I'm kind of what's usually described as a serial entrepreneur, a person that never learns. I'm still getting back to the same, launching and managing and running or investing in startups. I've been doing it more than 30 years of my life, and being behind launching of some of the biggest companies in the respective industries in the Baltic states and also worldwide. From news agencies to robotic companies. But what's funny is that throughout my career, more than half of that time, I've been actually been also a freelancer. So even when being a CEO of a company or chief operating officer of a company or an investor, I've been using my own personal company to run my business or run my professional business. So I may carry like title of a CEO or something else, but actually being a freelancer, like being a freelancer CEO, isn't it cool?
Definitely. It works for me as well. I can be a podcast host and a freelancer at the same time. So, well, obviously we've called this show The Future is Freelance, and we're hoping that that's a solid proposition. But can you give me a short answer to that? Do you agree then that the future is freelance?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, freelancing or like people being involved in free work, it has been a trend which has been there all the time. So it has been in the last few decades, it has been gradually eating itself into like overall employment market, and the people increasingly becoming more and more free agents in the economy. So being freelancers, sole traders, owning their own personal companies. So it is kind of slow trend that not so many people notice, but actually it is a super strong trend. And we've seen surveys that in the United States, for example, contracting will overtake employment as predominant way of working by 2027, 2028. So it will take a bit more time in Europe now. So, but it's actually a major, major revolution what's happening right in front of us. And why is it important? Is because people who are free agents, people who are solopreneurs, so they obtain a freedom. Like it's basically freelancing. It is about being free. And it is unlocking their creative potential in a very substantial way. And in this way, it is contributing to both personal happiness of people and also to overall economic growth. So yes, future is definitely freelancing, and we all need to embrace it.
Definitely. But it sounds like, as you timely reminded us, the past is also freelance. It's always been there. What we're seeing are new ways of making that trend visible, I suppose, as it takes over. And in fact, we're launching this show at what feels like a pivotal moment for the world, for the economy, for people's relationships to employment and business. It's a revolutionary turning point, not unlike the one Estonia experienced in the 90s, but this time it's global. And now we've got the technology to communicate, to collaborate from anywhere. We've got a restless workforce coming out of lockdown who just want to get away from their home. And we've got the connectivity to work with each other and collaborate from anywhere. So what do you see as the main implications of this for work and business?
Yes, let me first rewind 2 years back to spring 2020. When COVID was just starting, and we were super scared in Xolo because we were afraid that many of our customers may lose their business. And we actually asked our customers for the feedback, and they asked about how they're doing. And many of them, like hundreds of them, wrote back saying, hey, now it's all over, and I've lost all of my clients, and like, I can't leave my home, and so on, so on. So we were bracing ourselves to really see the biggest crisis in freelancing. In fact, 2020, 2021 turned out to be the best years for freelancing and solopreneurship ever. And 2021, if you take a look at our customer base, 2021 had the highest revenue growth or income growth for our customers. So it's about 30% year-on-year growth in income or personal income of our customers. It has never happened before. Like in the previous year, it could have been like 8 to 10%. So basically, the crisis didn't hurt freelancing. It accelerated freelancing, and it helped many of the freelancers to become much more successful. And then we took a look at the previous crises. For example, if we take a look at the 2008-2009, the previous financial crisis, so and we looked at the numbers, and actually we saw that the same happened back then, and especially in the countries which were the hardest hit by the crisis and in 2008 and 2009, for example, Spain and Greece and so on. So crisis stimulate freelancing, and many people rethink their careers and quit jobs and think about what to do next. And what we see now as a result of the COVID crisis, but it's combined with all of the technological advancements online video conferencing and remote work and cloud-based applications and so on. So it has led people to do what is called in the United States a great resignation. So people are quitting their day jobs and in increasing numbers and starting to launch their own professional independent careers. So which means that we are right now seeing the acceleration of the trend which has been on the background all the time. So that free work is overtaking employment, but now COVID has actually accelerated it probably about 2 times.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I wonder whether there's something about the people who were already in a solopreneur mindset or a more nomadic lifestyle leading the way in this revolution because they'd already decoupled the work from employment and the work from being a place that you go to do a specific thing rather than it being about what value you create. So it is a tremendously exciting time to be working with Xolo and to be involved in this. It really is a revolution. But having said all that and the good stuff that's happening throughout the world in this space, are there any downsides we should be considering, or what sort of barriers do people encounter when wanting to embrace this new work and lifestyle?
Let me maybe first start from the other end. And yes, sort of downsides, but the upside always is higher than the downside in solopreneur life. So all of the research we have seen shows that people running their independent careers are much happier than people being employed. So it is proven scientifically many times over that actually being a solopreneur or being a freelancer increases your happiness. So those people have made a lifestyle decision, and they have decided they don't want to have a boss. And most of those people have decided for themselves they don't want to be a boss either. So they are independent, and they can be much more flexible in how they structure their daily lives and relationships and what kind of customers they can serve. So they are more competitive. They can allocate time to learn skills that they need. So they can adjust and they can pivot and whatnot. So there are lots of upsides in the freelancer lifestyle. So of course there are downsides. The downside being that you are independent, so which means that you need to cope with everything on your own. So you need to be doing all of your business administration, and you're responsible for your taxes and for your finances. So there is no guaranteed paycheck coming from your employer every month. So it is obviously something which requires much more creativity and energy, but it is offset by that increased freedom and happiness. So, and Xolo is here actually to take care of those pains. So there are usually two main pains in the life of a freelancer. First, where to get the next project or customer or next paycheck. So, and Xolo right now is not focusing on that one. So we are not a marketplace. And there are plenty of marketplaces out there. We cooperate with many of them. But we take care of the pain number two in solopreneurs' lives, which is how to run the business and how to do the business administration. And we have seen many surveys, both from Europe and from the United States, that people in freelancing, they lose about 10% of the productive time, about 2 working days per month on business administration. And obviously, that's a hurdle, and it's way too much. It's about 10 times too much. So we believe it should not be more than a few hours, and it must be super efficient. So why it is not super efficient is because freelancing or solopreneurship still has not got yet the full infrastructure, or let's say all of the platforms and all of the software platforms and so on, so which have been developed for much bigger companies, for enterprises and even SMBs. So freelancing so far has lacked all of that framework and all of those platforms. So Xolo is one of those companies changing that. So we would like the freelancing to be as efficient as running a big company.
Well, as I operate my solo business in Estonia through your platform, and I also file as a self-employed person in Spain, and I think I probably spend longer on the Spanish side. It occurred to me the other day that all of my interaction with Xolo means I never open a spreadsheet. That's the one thing that, obviously, I'm a words person. I'm very, very happy to go through life without ever touching a spreadsheet. When everything's there and a clear dashboard, it's just such a better way of handling the data. So that's clearly one of the things that the Estonian infrastructure and Xolo services makes go away for a freelancer and a solopreneur. What do you think about the challenges of simply being a sole operator and maybe being lonely or disconnected from people? How can we support that?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, because most of the solopreneurs, say operating alone, and if you are employed by a company, or especially by a bigger company, so you are part of something, you are part of some common vision and mission and a team, and you go to work and you see other people. Being a solopreneur, so basically you are your company, right? And you're only employee, and that's why it's very important for solopreneurs to develop a sense of community and find other like-minded people and talk to them, go to events and work on platforms which are kind of putting together freelancers. So we in Xolo also see quite many teams of freelancers coming together spontaneously or sometimes prompted by having a joint customer and running their business on our platform as a team, not only as individuals. So it is very important aspect, and it's one of the main downsides which has been named by solopreneurs when asked about the hardships. So, and Xolo, of course, tries to mitigate that as well.
Yeah, I think it was certainly one of the issues that lots of people have talked about when they were forced to work remotely during the pandemic lockdowns. Often people who were employed and they're used to seeing their colleagues all the time found that really difficult. I think a lot of the solopreneurs that I talk to have, the ones who've made it work have really developed their own networks, and they've chosen who they're going to network with and what resources they're going to tap into. And they've made a very successful job of that. But we're hoping also that this podcast will help to connect and unite the community of solopreneurs out there, and as well provide direct support. You know, if you got questions, you're listening to the first episode of this show now, which is brilliant. You may already be a solopreneur. You may be curious about the lifestyle. You may or may not be an Estonian e-resident. Please share your business questions with us, and I will call Alan back, or I will tap into other members of the network of resources that we have here, and we'll try and help you. Because if you haven't got that team of colleagues and line management and other things that typical employees have available at all times, then we need to support each other. So we really hope that this podcast is going to be a part of that ecosystem of support that Xolo is sponsoring and providing, and that the freelancer network itself adds value to all the time and makes us greater than the sum of our parts. So that's like the bottom up, the grassroots solution to all of this. But thinking about the sort of more top down aspects of it, Alan, how do you see governments embracing freelancing and the ability to work in this flexible way? Do they see it as a nuisance, or are governments capitalizing on the opportunity now?
Yeah, sure. So maybe let me start from an effect, and that's a fact which is often overlooked, how big the solo economy actually is. So in Europe alone, it's about 60 million people, perhaps even more if you count in the grey economy. Now, 60 million people involved in independent work, full-time, part-time, high-end, low-end, like from Uber drivers to high-end consultancies. But it's 60 million people, and so combined economic footprint of those people in Europe alone is about 2 trillion euros. So 2 trillion euros is a huge, huge amount, and it's almost India's GDP, like India being the largest country in the world by population. So it's about the same size as India's economy. And it's often overlooked because solopreneurs, say individuals, and there is no, like, I don't know, big lobby and organizations or representative organizations or like spokespeople and so on and so on. So your neighbor can be a solopreneur, but you may not realize that. So it is not perceived as like, it's like a dark matter in the universe. Like it's there, but nobody really sees it. And it's the same in the economy. So, and many governments are actually overlooking it. And so they are forgetting about the fact that if you take any of the European countries, for example, about 80 to 90% of the economic entities, or like would it be limited liability companies, or would it be sole proprietorships, so they are one-person businesses. So either individuals working as sole proprietors or one-person businesses, like having just single owner and no employees. It's about 80 to 90% of the entities in the business registers of any given country. Right. So it's huge, but it's often overlooked by the governments. And we have seen different governments treating them differently. There are countries which really understand and try to promote it. And it is sometimes very unusual what kind of governments, like basically you may not suspect that some of the countries are really investing a lot in promoting it. Like, for example, France is doing a lot recently, and they see a lot of new companies being created. So in my own native Estonia, for example, is very interesting country to investigate in that aspect. But also there are governments, I will not start naming them right now in this podcast, but there are governments who see solopreneurs only as just a cash cow, like somebody who you could tax without much consequences, and like of course there is no like big business lobby groups lobbying on behalf of them, and they are just increasing taxes and basically discriminating solopreneurs compared to big businesses that very often pay less tax on relative terms than solopreneurs. Yeah. So and we believe that this must change. We believe that opening and like unlocking the creative potential of the people to run their own businesses, it could be a huge boost to any economy. And we believe it is the duties of the governments to actually do that. And I believe it's also the duty of the European Union to look into it and try to figure out, let's say, pan-European ways how to unlock it to make for Europe more competitive. But I believe it could be one of the biggest sources of future economic growth and wealth in our economies.
Wow. So what could governments do that they're not doing now then to support this?
So first of all, it's about taxation. So and again, there are different countries with very different taxation systems. But oftentimes, solopreneurs are taxed at very high levels, regardless if they have business or not. And it's usually quite difficult in many countries, including actually in Spain, by the way, where you reside, and you must be familiar with that.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah.
So you need to start. You need to start paying pretty high social security contributions, for example, even if you don't have business, and you need to start.
Even if you don't earn anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So in Spain, you need to start paying VAT from day one, and so those are also pretty steep in income tax levels. Then, but there are also possibilities to do it other way around, and basically to have taxation which is at least on the level of what the corporations pay, or maybe even better. So basically, we believe that taxation must be proportional to your business. So basically, if you don't have business, so you shall not be just a kind of cash cow to the government. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the governments must make launching and running the business as easy as possible. So, but today it's not like that. So today it may take weeks, sometimes even months to launch and register your business. Oftentimes it requires you to interact with many government agencies. So there are countries where you need to interact with 7 or 8 government agencies and fill in papers and visit them in person in order to get your business up and running. So while it shall be taking no more than 10 minutes and at your screen and keyboard. So that's another thing. And of course, promoting solopreneurship as such in society, it's also something the government shall do, and not all governments
do. Operating any kind of limited liability company in Spain is pretty much out of the reach for most solopreneurs. It just doesn't make sense financially. The administration costs and having to pay for accounting every month just to support that, that's why a lot of them are turning to Estonia now. So it sounds like that the digital government of Estonia makes possible things which the governments can offer to people, which maybe, I don't know, historically other jurisdictions simply aren't equipped to provide at this point in time.
Yes, you're speaking about my native Estonia, and yes, Xolo has been started in Estonia, and we have grown out from Estonia. And also in broader terms from the Nordics, because half of our management team is from Finland, which is another great example of how to build and promote solopreneurship in slightly different forms. And Estonia has done it, but basically combining those two experiences in actually helps us a lot. And let me just tell you about Estonia a few words. Because like being Estonian has shaped our thinking, even if we go and extend our products in to Spain or Italy and other countries in Europe. So this country regained its independence back in 1991, and it has been now more than 30 years. So, and it had a chance to actually start from scratch. Like instead of trying to basically fine-tune of like older structures, Estonia decided to bulldoze them down and basically build everything from scratch. Would it be taxation? Would it be legislation? Would it be everything? And part of that was the decision to embrace digital government early on. And by today, this country is one of the most advanced nations in the world in digital government. So it takes about 10 minutes to launch a company, for example. It takes me, last time I counted, it was about 65 seconds to do my annual tax return fully online, because it was all pre-filled and by the government, and I just needed to click and it went away. So it means lots of other underlying principles that Estonia has embraced. So, for example, that if there is any piece of information the government knows about you, so another branch of the government shall not ask it again. So, for example, if the government knows your address and it's stored in a population database, in this case, all of the other government registers shall not come to you to ask, hey, what was your address? But they turn to that central database and get your data. So, which means that it is, so life is much simpler for like any citizen. And about 8 years ago, Estonia decided to extend the digital infrastructure to all the citizens of other countries. So the reason was very simple. We are a very small country, only 1.3 million people. We are clearly not making enough babies. So there was no natural way to get to 10 million people. And then the government decided to basically take that e-government infrastructure and introduce a concept of what's called e-residency, and giving the citizens of other countries a possibility to get access to online platforms and very quick ways to establish a company and like favorable taxation and so on, and created a whole ecosystem of what is called e-residency economy. And by today, it's almost 100,000 people from all over the world in a population, in a country of 1.3 million people. It's like almost 10% extra economic population, so to say, who have set up close to 20,000 companies in this country. And you use them for running their global businesses. And many of them are actually one-person businesses. And we are the biggest service provider for those. So, but that's, of course, not the only thing we do. So, but that's what we do in context
it's,
of Estonia.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I never thought of it from the population perspective before. And I've never thought of myself as a digital daughter of Estonia, but I'm happy to have been electronically adopted. And it means that I can be... Having left my native UK, I can live in Mediterranean Spain, but operate my business globally out of Estonia is really quite mind-blowing for a lot of people. But for all these things to work on a global scale, it sounds like we need to redesign employment law, business law, tax law, and everything for the whole world. So how do we go about that, Alan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's super interesting. So first of all, if it's think about us as professionals. So what we do is we are selling our skills and our time to somebody who needs it, and to other companies. And so as a rule, people used to do it as employees. And for hundreds of years, employment, basically traditional employment, was a predominant way how to sell your time and your skills. But if you look back, let's say 1,000 years, it was not that way. Like there was no employment contracts in year 1,000, right? And many people, they actually acted as we call them today, solopreneurs. Mm. And we also believe that if we fast forward, let's say in a few decades, we believe that most people will be selling their skills and time on the market as businesses, not as employees, but as businesses. And we believe that employment and solopreneurship or freelancing, they will converge in some sort of format, which is somewhere in between, which has certain safeguards of employment, but at the same time, the freedoms of being a freelancer or solopreneur. So we believe that it actually is great for both people and for the economies and also for the companies. So it will make the play field quite even. So today, you are employee, so you just like your employer tells you what to do and can set a lot of constraints. So if you are negotiating your contract as a business with another business, so it would be different, totally different. Like you as a professional will suddenly become a business and basically on the same level of with a company which is buying those services from you. And you can negotiate your pricing. You will have freedom to serve other customers. So like instead of giving you commands, so you will be negotiated with. And we believe that's very important, because we believe that people fundamentally want to be free. And we believe that freedom unlocks so much creativity and so much energy in people that in the end of the day, we will all become much more productive.
Definitely. It's really interesting what you said about how things were 1,000 years ago. Before we had corporations, people were essentially solopreneurs. There were actually a lot of people were nomadic and went where the work was on an itinerant basis with whatever skills and value add they were able to provide. Maybe we'll come to look back on this whole idea of corporations as a sort of just a blip that started with the Industrial Revolution, and we'll move on past it and we'll all be freelancers again. But I know that you talked about the way you like to structure your own business relationships and the services you provide through Solo. Can you elaborate for me why you feel that a limited liability company is better than being a freelancer? Why do we actually need business entities in order to trade on this basis?
Yes. Like if you take a look on legislation or legal framework in most of the countries, there are two ways how you could operate as a one-person business. And in most European countries, because of taxation, because of how easy it is to register and many other reasons, people have chosen to be what is called sole traders or sole proprietors. And this means that you are still like basically a private person, but you obtain a sort of business number and you become a taxpayer as a little business, but you don't have the protection of a limited liability company. And limited liability company is another way how to run your business. And why it is better is because what the name says, limited liability. So limited liability is like a legal form how to limit your liability when it comes to business. So basically, if you are a sole trader, so you may lose your home, for example, if something goes wrong, or basically people can come after all of your assets and property. So if you are running your business as limited liability company, so you're kind of sandboxed and so there is a protection. So that's why we believe that even today, limited liability company is a better form. Now, why not so many people are choosing it in countries like Spain or Germany and so on? It is because it's too complicated and too costly to run a limited liability company.
Expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's more difficult to register, and taxation is sometimes, like, usually it makes sense if you are earning, let's say, I don't know, north of 50,000 or 100,000 euros a year or something. So, but of course, there are also examples. And again, if you take Estonia's example, so in Estonia, most people have limited liability companies as opposed to being registered as sole traders, because it just makes sense. Mm. So it's super easy to register. Taxation is favorable. So there is 0% income tax until you basically pay yourself as dividends. So basically, if you reinvest, the government is not taxing it. So it is only taxing basically if the money is taken out for consumption. And that's why in Estonia, there is roughly the same amount of one-person companies registered as in Germany, which is, I don't know, tens of times bigger countries than Estonia is. Yeah. And we believe, again, if we fast forward in a few decades, we believe that if there is any format for solopreneurship being developed, and something which is between employment and between sole tradership is today, it must also have the component of limited liability. So you need to be able to run your business with a certain protection. Like today, for example, if you take big corporations, so they are protected because they have limited liability protection. Mm. So, and we believe that one-person businesses shall not be different.
Definitely. And it's, I opened my limited company in Estonia 4 years ago because I needed a limited company for a specific contract, but I've kept it all this time for all those other advantages that it offers me operating globally, just to have that separation of me and my business entity. It certainly helps a solopreneur appear more established and professional, get taken seriously, the ability to raise professional looking invoices as part of an ecosystem has so many advantages to offer. What do you think business might look like, though, if we look back in that crystal ball at 30 or 50 years in the future? What kind of structures, if they're working with solopreneurs, how will we organize ourselves into larger enterprises?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I wish we'd have it in a crystal ball, and we can only guess at this point. But I think it's also quite interesting what's happening right now. And so first of all, there are already cooperatives of freelancers, or teams of freelancers, for example, coming together for one particular project, or maybe to serve one customer jointly. Maybe somebody's doing design and somebody's doing coding. And once the project is over, they go their separate ways. So, but there are also more permanent setups where people are working together for years or even decades. So being independent, but still forming some sort of like semi-organized structure to run it jointly. And now in the year 2022, when there are lots of new interesting trends and like mostly revolving around crypto, for example, crypto as like basically blockchain technologies. So we see the emergence of totally new structures and totally new concepts. Not so many people know about them, but for example, there is a term called the DAO, a Distributed Autonomous Organization, which is based on actually smart contracts, which are like on a blockchain technology. So, which is not a company, but it is something. It's basically a contract or agreement between people that they do something together and they have agreed how to do it. And we already see the first governments to embrace that approach. For example, in the United States, there are a few states like Wyoming, for example, who have written them into the business code. So basically distributed autonomous organizations, which are basically smart contracts on blockchain, suddenly obtain the same status as an incorporated businesses. And that's a super interesting trend, and we are keeping our eye on that, and maybe it's a bit too early to be widespread, but we believe that if we fast forward, let's say 20 years, we will see something along those lines.
Fantastic. Well, I think it's going to be a very exciting 20 years. At the moment, we're seeing all these emergent trends, which are very unevenly distributed. Certainly in terms of crypto acceptance, we're seeing that in pockets of the US as well and in different countries. So I think there are so many different directions that this could go, but I'm sure that Estonia will be at the heart of it and Solar will be there reducing the complexity for all of the solopreneurs who want to get involved and get on board. So it would be great to wrap up with some reflections more about the future plans of Solar, where the organization is headed. What do you want from listeners to this podcast in terms of being involved in that future, and what can we expect?
Sure. So first of all, let me just remind again what Xolo does. So we are a software platform that comes with an embedded service, which is usually offered in like normal world by humans, but we offer it in a combination of robots and humans. So we do everything from registering your business to providing you the platform to do your invoicing and expense management, to connect your bank accounts, to connect payment gateways to receive credit card payments. So to contracting, so we provide you the legal contract framework, and we also do your accounting and tax filing, so which is usually the biggest headache for any solopreneur. So, and we do it in a very, very efficient manner. So we use lots of machine learning technologies and automation, so we can be like 5 to 10 times more efficient without losing in service quality or customer satisfaction. So that's what Xolo does. And we have a range of products depending on where the freelancer is. So we have a product which is based on Estonia's e-residency that we just covered earlier, and which is mostly geared towards what we call location-independent freelancers, nomadic people, expats, people running global solo businesses. But we have also launched several products, and we keep and we'll continue launching some, which are serving what we call more freelancers, like mainstream freelancers in different countries. We have done it in Spain since last year. We just launched a product in Italy a few months ago. We are preparing to launch in some new countries. And our goal is to launch localized products, speaking a local language, fully compliant in terms of local taxation and reporting. So like local everything in most European countries in the coming years. So which means that any European freelancer who wants to run their business easily and without losing time on all kind of administration issues could come and sign up with us and get taken care of. So that's our vision for the coming years.
Excellent. Okay.
And of course, yes, I mean, obviously, we interact with our thousands of customers on a daily basis and listen to them. But I would like to use this opportunity to ask all of the listeners, like, if you have any ideas or any requests or any visions of what we could do for freelancers. So what else could we build? What kind of functionality we could build? And so please let us know. And please let me know personally. Now my email address is alan@xolo.io. And I would really appreciate if you write to us and let us know. So what is your vision for freelancing and what you would like to have from a platform like Xolo?
Brilliant. Okay, well, I'm sure your inbox is going to be filling up with listener ideas, because we know that this community is so creative and visionary, and to be invited to be part of that conversation is very powerful. I'd also like to add, as a Xolo customer, that despite all the automation that Alan talked about, the things that make the business admin just vanish into the background of your life, there are a fantastic team of humans as well in the customer service. You know, part of the reason I use Xolo is because I hate tax and admin and things like that. And if ever I have any concerns about the business, what I should be doing, a kind of claim for this, the team there are so responsive and friendly and liaise in perfect English and just actually make this stuff make sense, which it never has done in Spain, to be honest. And I'm really glad to have access to those services. So it's great to know what's coming up in the future, the directions the organization is going. You have a means to contact Alan now via his email. We can even put that in the show notes. And I think if we get any interesting questions as well, we'll have to get Alan to come back on and explore them with us in future. But for now, for this first episode, I think we've covered a tremendous amount of really interesting territory. But is there anything else, Alan, that you'd like to share with listeners before we wrap up?
Sure. I just want to use this opportunity to thank all of the listeners, and many of them obviously are solopreneurs, and maybe some of them are our customers. And I'd like to thank them as our customers, of course, but I would like also thank them to be a great inspiration. And like every time I have my low moments, and like as an entrepreneur and a CEO, like obviously you have your low moments, and like everything seems to go south and not as you wish. In that case, I go back and take a look and maybe talk to some of our customers and solopreneurs. And it's just so inspiring how people can find so many micro niches and business opportunities and basically establish themselves as leaders in some like very specific sectors. And it is so good to see people so optimistic and agile and like able to adapt to all kind of changing environments and never losing the sight on what they are doing and never losing optimism. So I think the solopreneur crowd is so amazing, and I'm really proud, and it's so fascinating to work with them and actually to help them to succeed in what they are doing. So I would like to say a big thank you, and I believe all of the governments shall join me in thanking them, because actually we are the people, or you are the people, making the economy tick.
Fantastic. What a wonderful note to end on. Alan Martinson, thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you, Maya.
You've been listening to the Futurist Freelance podcast, brought to you by Xolo.io, who offer compliance, taxation, invoicing and admin solutions for fiercely independent solopreneurs across the globe. From simply getting paid to launching a full EU-based limited company, Xolo has you covered, thanks to Estonian e-residency and a superb suite of streamlined business software. If you enjoyed the show, please like, rate and comment, and subscribe to our feed wherever you get your podcasts.